To which they would inevitably be heirs. Trials are a part of our lot. They were predestinated for us in Christ's last legacy. So surely as the stars are fashioned by His hands and their orbits fixed by Him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. He has ordained their season. He has ordained their place. He has ordained their intensity. He has ordained the effect which they shall have upon us. But there's one more thing that He has ordained. He has ordained their final day. Good men must never expect to escape troubles. If they do, they will be disappointed, for their predecessors have not been without them. Mark, if you will, the patience of Job. Remember Abraham, for he had his trials, and by his faith unto them, he became the father of the faithful. Note well the biographies of all the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and you will discover that none of those whom God made vessels of mercy, who were not made to pass through the fire of affliction, it is ordained of old that the cross of trouble should be engraved on every vessel of mercy as the royal mark whereby the king's vessels of honor are distinguished. But although the tribulation is thus a part of God's children, they have the comfort of knowing that their master has traversed it before them. They have his presence and sympathy to cheer them, his grace to support them, his example to teach them. And when they reach the kingdom, they will find that the much tribulation through which they have passed is not worthy to be compared to what shall be revealed in them. Church, I want to tell you something. We have a word that we need to grab a hold of. The word is called through. I hear people say from time to time, well, brother, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You just don't understand what all's going on. As if the things that we are going through somehow excuses us from being who God called us to be. It's almost as if because of what I'm going through, I don't have to become what God has called me to be. I told you it sounded a little negative in the beginning, but if you just kind of stick with me for a minute, we'll get somewhere where it feels a little bit better. But here is my word to you today, because even though we offer it as almost sometimes an excuse to justify disobedience, the truth of the matter is, perhaps you don't understand what it is that you said. I don't think you really caught the whole gist of what it was when you said it. You are focused on what you are dealing with and don't realize that you prophesied your victory when you said it, because you said you don't understand what I'm going through. In other words, it's not where I'm stopping, it's not where I'm staying, it's not where I'm going to always be, it's what I'm going through. I may be dealing with it right now, but I'm going through it. Preacher, he just made up his word. He said, I refuse to die in my dilemma.
Yes.
Church, I want to tell you that somewhere inside of us, y'all kind of quieting back down on me now, because we're backing out. We've already had altar call and kind of going all backwards with this thing. But somebody in this house needs to get something on the inside of them that says, I've made up my mind, I'm going through this thing. Whatever it takes, I'm going through. I'm not dying here. I'm not buying a plot of ground here to bury myself in. I'm not going to put up my headstone here, because I may be having trouble and I may be having a problem and it may be difficult. There may be stuff warring on the inside of my body. There may be stuff coming against my mind. But I've made up, already got an idea. I am not staying here. I'm not dying. your situation, your trouble, and your trial, and say, look here, I see you. I'm not going to act like you're not there, but I have made up my mind that you are not the last word. You are not the end of this story. I refuse to stay in this thing. I may need a hotel for the night, but I'm not buying a house here. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, through.
Through.
Oh, that was pitiful. Except for you, that was good. Now we'll try it again like my brother did it. Turn on and tell somebody, through.
Through.
I'm telling you, I'm going through. David said, yay, though I pass. Come on, you got it. Wake up, you go this slow, we're going to be here longer. Yay, though I through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's the difference. This is not about just a good positive mental attitude. It's not just about thinking positive. It's a realization that He is with me. He is going through. And so if I go through, even the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You got to get this in your mind. You got to see this picture, if I can say it this way. You got to understand, David comes out. On one side, there stands Goliath.
All right.
He's standing up there on the top of that hillside, challenging Israel. On the other side of it, there's a valley that comes down and then goes back up. And on the other side of that valley, Israel's army sits. And David is standing there looking across. He knows that in order to go to where he's got to go and to achieve what he's got to achieve, he's got to leave where he is and go down through the valley. And so at that moment, when he's at his lowest point, down at the very bottom of the valley, the giant standing up on the hillside above him, sun shining behind him, and a long shadow of his enemy casting down across that valley, he stands there and looks up. And in the moment when he is the lowest, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can see that he's up there. I see his shadow across this valley. But I made up my mind. He thinks he's going to destroy me. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But this is what I like. And this is what I want to encourage some of you. Right now you feel like you're in a low point, baby. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of looking up and you see the enemy and his shadows over the top of you. I want you to hear this. David said, you know what? I know I'm in the valley right now. I know I'm in, but I'm not going to always be here. And so he began to look around and begin to pick himself up some stones in the lowest point of his life and begin to put them in his pouch. He said, I might not need them right now, but one of these days I'm coming up out of this valley. And when I get up out of this valley, I'm going to take that enemy and I'm going to do to him what he said he was going to do to me. So I'm going to pick up the stuff down here that I need. Somebody passing through the valley right now, I want to tell you, start picking up some stuff. Put a little more prayer. Start picking up some stuff while you're walking through the valley. I know you don't need it right this minute, Thou art with me.
Amen.
The enemy stands and says, I'm going to destroy your family. And it almost looks like he might. But the last chapter is not written yet.
That's right.
I'm going to take out your health. I'm going to destroy you.
That's right.
Devil, by the time I get done with you,
come on now. Yes.
Right.
Cancer, by the time I get done with you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Name of Jesus.
Yes.
Addiction, by the time I get done with you. You're going to wish you had.
Amen.
Say, well, you sound kind of cocky. Bible says that if they had known who it was that they were crucifying, they wouldn't have even, I don't think so. Because they didn't realize that all that mess was just playing into the plan. And I'm going to tell you something. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. The mess you're going through right now is just playing into the plan. And it's going to turn it all around. And what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters. Anybody know that verse?
Yeah.
What's the rest of it say?
I will be with you.
Say it out loud.
I will be with you.
I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not be burned. You shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. That's why the psalmist said, we went through the fire and we went through the water. Fire is what tries to destroy you. Water is what tries to overwhelm you. And the psalmist said, we went through what tried to destroy us, and we went through what tried to overwhelm us. I'm not going to preach it all out, but I'm going to make it real simple. The Bible says that when they got through, the Israelites came down to the water, and the water split open, and they walked through that which was supposed to keep them in place, that which was supposed to be their greatest problem. God just reached down, split it open, and they passed through. But here's what I like. Because the enemy said, that's all right. And you read it. The enemy said, we will overtake. The enemy said, we will overcome. The enemy said, we will follow. We will pursue. We will destroy. But what happened was, God took the problem, split it in half, and they passed through the waters. And when they came out the other side of the waters, God turned around, and the very thing that was supposed to be their grave, the very thing that was supposed to stop them, covered back up over the enemy, and the enemy's body come washing up on the shore. I want to tell somebody in this house, just keep on walking. Somebody in Israel made up their mind, we're just going to keep on walking. I see the walls of water, but he made a way and I'm walking. I know there's problems, but he made a way and I'm walking. I'm just going to keep going. I want you to understand, your enemy is so cocky. He's about to follow you into the middle of your mess. And in the middle of your mess, when you're coming up out the other side, he's going to close up over your enemy, and you're going to see your enemy wash up on the shore behind you. Bible said they took the furnace and they heated it up 7 times hotter. That furnace was so hot
Yeah.
But the king looked down and he said, how many did we put in there? Well, it was just three of them. Well, I see four of them. And they're not curled up on the floor. They're not a pile of cinder and ashes. They don't even, matter of fact, looks to me like they're just walking around. Now, I want to time out something, because I got a little revelation on this. Pastor Forrest to straighten this out later when he tell you how wrong I am. But I don't read anywhere in the book where those three boys saw the fourth man in the fire. The only one that I read that saw the fourth man in the fire was somebody on the outside watching the boys on the inside. Maybe that you feel like you've been abandoned and you are all alone. You may not be able to see God anywhere around in the middle of your mess. It may be that you, but I got news for you. Just because you can't see Him doesn't mean He's there. It may be that it's the people on the outside watching you go through what you're going through, looking at you saying, I don't know how you're doing it, but I see where God's working for you. I don't know how, and you may not see it, you may not feel it, you may not even understand it, but somebody on the outside sees the fourth man in the fire. Somebody on the outside says, God's working. That's got my attention. But here's my final point. Just going to cut it right here. When you come out, don't miss this. When you come out, you're not even going to look like you've been through what you've been through.
Yes, Lord.
Brother, I heard you say it. I've said it 100 times myself, but it never really dawned on me. When they went through, the Bible said that when they went through on what?
Dry ground.
They passed through the sea. And when they come out the other side, there wasn't even mud on their shoes.
All right. No. Amen. All right.
They come out after just walking all the way through the Red Sea. And you couldn't even tell that they'd been through the Red Sea because there wasn't even mud on their shoes.
Amen.
Bible said that when those boys come up out of that fiery furnace, they weren't singed. They weren't burned.
That's right.
There was, the Bible said they didn't even smell like smoke. Y'all just look at me because you've known that since Sunday school. I get that. Preacher, we've heard that a thousand times. But maybe you didn't catch this. The only evidence that they had come through the fire was everything the enemy had put on them was burned off of them on their way through the fire. And when they came out the other side, there wasn't just not the smell of smoke. The ropes were burned off. All the stuff the enemy tried to bind them up with. All the stuff the enemy tried to put on them. All the stuff the enemy tried to hold them down with. It all got burned up. It may be that you're going through the fire so that some of the stuff that the enemy's got wrapped you up around you can get burned off. It may be that there's some ropes that need to be. Your praise just isn't free enough yet. Your worship just isn't strong enough yet. And you got to go through. But I got news for you. If you just keep going, when you come out the other side, you'll stand here with your hands up, worshiping, praising God, giving Him glory. People will say, well, it's easy for them. They ain't been any through anything. And you'll look there and say, honey, if you I've been in the middle of the smoky fire. I don't know exactly how we get through the end of this now because we've already had altar call. Sis, if you'll come and play something, I would appreciate it. If you know the song I'm going through, I don't care what the rest of the world says. Lord, that's old. I don't know if I know that song either. Honey, you know the song, sis? Woo, glory. She got it written down on paper. She's ahead of me. I like it. I tell you what, God's already filled somebody. God's already healed people in this house. God's already touched a life and showed him how much that he loves her. Somewhere in hell or somewhere like that, there's a committee meeting going on. What do you mean you sat down and wasn't there? What do you mean you didn't go and disturb? What do you mean? What do you mean you thought nothing would happen? But I feel like God wants somebody else to just stand up and say, you know what? It may not be easy, but I'm going through. I got troubles. I got temptations. I got trials. I may stumble. I may fall. I may flop. I may mess up. I may get discouraged. I may. But I made up my mind. I'm not staying here. One person believes me. Somebody else did just say, I'm going through. I'm going through. And when I come out the other side, I've made up. Oh, there you go. Somebody hit me now. When I come out the other side, I've made up my mind. Devil, you're going to wish you hadn't messed with me. Sickness, you're going to wish you hadn't messed with me. Addiction, you're going to wish you hadn't. Because everybody else comes in, they may not know. But I know, and I'm going after every person I know that's in the same problem. I'm going after every person I know that's dealing with the same mess. I'm going after everything. I intend to see families strengthened. I intend to see addictions broken. I intend to see lives changed. I intend to see sickness dispatched and healing in the presence. I intend to see it happen. I refuse to stop. I refuse to quit. I'm going through no matter what. And I'm coming up the other side. Maybe we could just kind of move to the end of this service by all joining around the front with just a determination and a renewed commitment that said, God, I'm going through. I'm going